Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
You'd be forgiven for thinking that Conservative MPs working to undermine their own government was so 2022.
So Rishi Sunak took over from Liz Truss, and in the wake of that, he tried to calm things down. He tried to de-dramatise politics, to focus on the essentials, on getting the economy back on track.
Steve Swinford, our political editor.
In the context of Tory plotting, it was a relatively quiet time. So we had nearly a year of relative stability. And yes, there was discontent from the right of the party, but that didn't manifest into anything involving a plot to remove the Prime Minister.
Until now, that is.
Towards the end of last year, you had a series of issues that all bubbled together, but foremost was Rwanda. And Tory MPs on the right of the party became increasingly concerned that the Rwanda legislation was not strong enough and were vocally saying, we need to change this, we need to do more. And they were starting to plot.
Upset with policy and wary of hearty poll leads for the Labour Party, plotting is back in fashion.
Yet another Conservative plot to remove a sitting Prime Minister.
We'll go inside the meetings, examine the personalities, and follow the mystery money funding the scheme. Could Conservative conspirators really make it a comedy triple toppling in just 18 months? You're listening to Stories of Our Times from The Times and The Sunday Times. I'm Luke Jones. Today, inside the Tory plot to oust Rishi Sunak.
I'm Stephen Swinford and I'm The Times' political editor. I'm speaking to you from the roof of Parliament, and you might occasionally hear Big Ben bonging in the background, which I apologise for in advance, but it is an occupational hazard of where we work.
And how do you know, Stephen, when it is... For you, is it easy to sense the difference between just angry soundings off from MPs and an actual plot afoot? Because it seems like they're always complaining to political journalists, but how do you know when they actually might do something drastic?
Well, this plot is slightly different because it is being done in plain sight. It's being splashed across the front pages of newspapers. Very expensive polls have been commissioned. So it is an overt plot. But the ultimate litmus test in my job to test how serious a plot is one, you obviously talk to the plotters, but they could be exaggerating. So The better litmus test I tend to find is two, how are number 10 responding? What do they think about it? And I can tell you that number 10 are worried and they see danger here. And they see something that could disrupt the election. And there is real money involved in this plot. And that is what is worrying Downing Street at the moment.
Interesting. So walk us through how this plot began and got wind.
So early in December, a group of former political advisors met who'd worked for various ministers across government. So I was told that there were around 8 of them. And they were talking about the Rwanda legislation. But actually, the conversation took a different turn. Now, during their conversation, they began to talk about removing the Prime Minister, and they discussed plans for a massive YouGov poll, which is called an MRP poll, basically means a seat-by-seat poll of every constituency in the country. And what that poll would do, and when these polls come out, they are a big deal, is they enable every MP to look at their seat and see how they're going to fare. So there, what you had here was a kind of the beginnings of quite a serious operation that was looking at removing the Prime Minister. Now, what's interesting is in the room, you had the advisors, but you didn't have any MPs. And I was told that's partly about kind of plausible deniability. They all work for MPs, but they're not in the room. So they are informed of what's going on. But if it comes to it, they could say, I knew nothing about that plot. And I still know nothing about it to this day. They seem to be based around the West End in London. And then things really geared up just before Christmas. And there was a chap called Will Dry, who was an advisor to Rishi Sunak. He did the polling in Number 10. He did the polls for them there. He was trusted by Liam Booth-Smith, the Prime Minister's chief of staff.
He's incredibly young as well.
Incredibly young, 26, now 27. And he decided to defect. And he left Number 10. He'd become dispirited. He thought the Tories were going nowhere, that they were failing to address the big challenges facing people. And he decided that we need to change. So he joined this group. And he, using his polling expertise, drew up a series of questions for this ginormous YouGov poll. And we saw the products of that earlier this month, when The Telegraph out of nowhere splashed the findings of this poll.
It's being claimed if there was an election tomorrow, the Conservatives would be facing a 1997-style wipeout. The latest YouGov poll suggests Labour would win a 120-seat majority, taking back every red wall seat lost to Boris Johnson in 2019.
And that was significant for a couple of reasons, one of which, not least, is because it was The Telegraph. Now, The Telegraph is seen as the kind of in-house Conservative newspaper. It has been for a long time. So doing that on The Telegraph, and The Telegraph giving such space and such a big splash to it, and this was in the week that MPs were going to vote on Rwanda, was an act of aggression. And then secondly, connected to it were other people. So the poll was fronted by a guy called Lord Frost. Now, Lord Frost used to be a cabinet minister. He was very involved in Brexit negotiations, and he was a close ally of Boris Johnson. He gave quotes saying that, you know, this is a terrible result and it would be appalling. We need to change, we need to do things differently. But he's just the front man. He didn't stump up the money. The money was stumped up by someone else, and we still, to this day, don't know who that is.
But we do have the name Conservative Britain Alliance as the group who commissioned the poll. But do we know anything about who is making up that alliance?
I am very happy to tell you that Conservative Britain Alliance does not exist. It is not a company. No one has ever heard of it before. It is a made-up name to represent these people. And that's partly because under polling requirements, you have to say where a poll's come from, who's commissioned it and who's funded it broadly. So it enabled YouGov to say this poll was commissioned by this organisation and it was fronted by Lord Frost, and therefore it fulfils that requirement. But that's as far as it goes. And we still don't know who these donors are. The only thing I've been told is they are not your big donors. They're not your Peter Crudders or other kind of multi-million pound donors to the parties. These are relatively low profile donors, and they apparently want it to stay that way.
Do we know how much we're talking about cash wise for this?
Well, we know this is 40 grand. But if they are, as reported, also paying for these advisors, you're looking at quite deep pockets. And they're presumably doing that over a long period, because this is, it looks like a kind of 3 or 4 month bid to remove the Prime Minister, which I'll explain the context in a minute.
Yes.
Here is the narrative event so far, if I run you up to where we've got to and then where we're going to next. So they published this ginormous poll in the week of the Rwanda vote, and initially it didn't appear to have the desired impact.
The ayes to the right, 313. The nose to the left, 269.
So when it came to the vote itself on the overall legislation, only 11 Tory MPs, who became known as the Rwanda 11, voted it down, and most of the party was loyal to Sunak.
Given that your party is continuing to take lumps out of each other, and indeed lumps out of you, is it time for you to say to them explicitly to put a sock in it?
Well, the Conservative Party last night demonstrated that they're completely united and wanting to stop the votes. And this bill passed with an overwhelming majority in Parliament.
And Number 10 thought it had broadly seen it off. The following week, Simon Clarke, who was a former cabinet secretary who served under Liz Truss on the right of the party, he quit. And as he did so, he said that we are on course to a massacre. We're on call to a really damaging time. And he did this, in an opinion piece, again for The Telegraph, So again, trying to dominate the coverage there. And he was watching, I think, Middlesbrough in an FA Cup tie being beaten soundly by Chelsea that night. So I think they lost 6-1 when the article went live. And he said that the vitriol he experienced from Tory MPs after that went up, it kind of made all of that defeat in the FA Cup tie pale into insignificance.
In what way? What kind of things were people saying, Tory MPs saying?
People were saying he was a narcissist. They were saying he was egotistical. The Tory WhatsApp groups were completely full of people castigating him and saying, you're the wrong, this is a terrible decision.
Let's get a view from a different end of the Conservative Party with the MP, Tobias Elwood. Good morning to you.
Good morning to you.
What do you make of Simon Clark's intervention? He says failing to act would itself represent a decision. Look at the polls. Personal insults don't change the facts. I have no further comment to make.
We've got a disgruntled ex-cabinet member, grumpy that his preferred former prime minister is no longer his number 10. He's throwing his teddies in the corner, calling for yet another change in prime minister. This is self-indulgent, it's reckless, and it's defeatist. And
Simon Clark said that he'd expected this response.
I'm in every sense, I'm a big guy, I can take that. And I totally respect the strong views that something like this evokes, right? No one likes the guy who's shouting iceberg. But I suspect that people will be even less happy if we hit the iceberg. And we are on course to do that. I think that is the point which I just need to land with colleagues respectfully and calmly. And I really worry that we are on course for a shattering defeat.
And just a point of clarity, Steve, Simon Clark, was he doing this in cahoots with whatever Conservative Britain Alliance is and this group of former political advisers banding together with some donor cash to do this poll? I mean, is all of this part of the same rebel machine?
So the rebel machine, as they like to call it, is called the grid of shit. That's what it's known as in number 10 and among the rebels themselves. It is a series of events that they are hoping will destabilise Rishi Sunak. One is on February the 15th, when we have two by-elections, both of which the Conservatives are expected to lose in Wellingborough and Kingswood. And the other, arguably more dangerous moment, will come in May when we get the local elections. A lot of those local elections are being held in red wall areas and they are not looking very good for the Conservatives, you'll be surprised to hear. Simon Clark was known to be supportive of the intentions of the group, but he decided to go public on his own volition. I was told that it was because the Telegraph was doing another poll and they just rang him up and asked a response, knowing that he was broadly concerned about the direction of trouble. And he just decided, right, I'm going to do an op-ed. So it wasn't in the plan, and that's why he was the only MP to go.
Yes.
But the calculation is others will follow. That's what they believe in time.
Okay. So if the only sort of public figure we know of directly connected with this is Lord Frost, David Frost, as you said, people remember as being a Brexit minister in a previous Conservative government. What has he said about his involvement, where this cash is coming from? I mean, has anybody questioned him and been able to pin him down?
He was called in last week by the leader of the Lords, the Conservative leader of the Lords, who's a guy called Lord True, and he asked him that question. Where did this come from? Who's funding it? And can you tell us that? And he said, I don't know. I can't tell you that. And he basically just flatly refused to say. And then specifically, Lord True asked him, did this come from a donor who is also given to another political party? And this is important because the Tories think that whoever is behind this is also funding another political party, specifically Reform, and that therefore they are directly working against not just Rishi Sunak's interests, but the broader interests of the Conservative Party. And the message from Lord True to Lord Frost was, if this is the case, if it emerges that that donor has given to another party, we will be looking at stripping you of the whip.
Mm.
At the moment, they haven't done that. But if that happens, you're going to suddenly have a much fuller scale war going on. If they start stripping people like Clark, like Frost of the whip, it's going to get very messy very quickly.
And if Reform UK, to remind people, is what sort of continuity Nigel Farageism, sort of nibbling away at the Conservative Party from the right, how big a concern are they for number 10?
So they are a concern. I mean, YouGov is consistently putting Reform on about 12 points. They've been as high as 13 points, which is their biggest ever rating. And they're worried about them precisely because in those red wall seats that Boris Johnson's election success hinged on, they are picking up voters. Now, we're about to get a litmus test of that at the by-election in Wellingborough, where we will see if Richard Tice, and who is the leader of Reform, and his party can actually get people to come out and vote for them. They've got a candidate there, and that will play into a kind of broader moment of, will Nigel Farage make a return to frontline politics? Will he actually lead Reform into the next election? At the moment, he doesn't seem to be doing that, but he might well do that. And Reform is obviously delighting in this situation. And I think Richard Tice's formal position is he's declining to say whether Reform was involved in this poll or the donor who supported it was Reform. Now, I'm willing to bet he has no idea who funded this poll, but keeping that open as an option will no doubt taunt the Tories further and fuel their own suspicions.
Coming up, did Nadine Dorries actually predict all of this months ago? And will Rishi Sunak be able to fend off the plotters until the general election, whenever that is? That's in a moment. This weekend, Times subscribers can catch the latest episode of Inside the Newsroom. It's our new behind-the-scenes series on Apple Podcasts, and it is just for Times subscribers on the Stories of Our Times feed. Visit thetimes.co.uk/bonus podcasts to find out more.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
I'm David Baddiel. I'm a writer and a comedian and a Jew.
I'm Saeeda Varsi. I'm a businesswoman and a politician and a Muslim.
Jews and Muslims always seem to be in the news or on the news. Lots of people talk about us, and this is us talking about ourselves.
The kind of things that people say don't touch, yeah. We are going to go there.
I mean, I think Jews and Muslims are talking about these things, but I think they're not talking about them together because they're worried that if they do, sparks might fly. A Muslim and a Jew go there.
Find us wherever you get your podcasts.
Steve Swinford, political editor of The Times, you're taking us through this enormous, complicated plot, it seems, against Rishi Sunak and his government that's been getting a load of steam in the past month and a half or so. If we look over what you've already told us about this group of special advisers working together with some kind of donor cash to put out this incredibly damaging poll into the public domain, should we all owe Nadine Dorries an apology?
Nothing happens by accident in either government or at the top of my party. Everything is decided by a quite small group of men who decide who will be an MP, who will be a minister, when that minister's career will crash by pulling various levers, who will be prime minister and how long they will remain prime minister.
I remember a time when she brought her book out, The Plot, and we all said, this is ludicrous, this isn't going to happen. And now, and I think she's the one pointing this out, some of this is happening. I mean, how much credit should we give her?
I think there are always plots behind the scenes in the Conservative Party. Nadine Dorries's book contained plenty of strong allegations, which it's not for me to support or suggest. But there is, she had a particular fixation on one individual, who's a guy called Dougie Smith, who is a decades-long Tory fixer.
Dougie Smith is, you know, you will only find one photograph on the internet of Dougie Smith. He is right now at Rishi's right-hand side as his main advisor. But you won't hear anybody talk about Dougie Smith. When I ask people about Dougie Smith, they would say to me, I don't want to talk about him, and put their hand over my phone.
He served as an aide to successive Tory prime ministers. And she, at the weekend, came out and said that he was involved with this group. She suggested, I think, that he was effectively pulling the strings, or that's what she had heard. We had a look at it ourselves, and he certainly seems to have been in contact with the group.
And has he said anything? I mean, have you been able to get any comments out of him?
No, Dougie Smith never comments and never has commented. We know he has spoken to Will Dry, who is this former number 10 aide that defected and went over to work for this group. the precise nature of their conversations is not clear. Some people believe he has a formal advisory role. Other people said it's not that. It's just kind of he's talking to Will about what he's doing and where things are going. But nonetheless, the fact he's in contact is significant in its own right and suggests that there is some more going on behind the scenes on this.
Hmm.
We think there are around 10 MPs maximum currently involved with this who are aware of what it's doing. None of them will say so publicly. Suella Braverman, the former Home Secretary, is said to be privately among those who believe that there needs to be a change of leader. She's publicly said that the party needs to change course. She hasn't gone so far as to call for the defenestration of Rishi Sunak.
If he doesn't do what you demand, will you plot against him to remove him as leader of the Conservative Party?
I want the Prime Minister to succeed in stopping the boats. He said he would do whatever it takes. And if we do it, if he does it as Prime Minister, he will be able to lead us into the next election, telling the people that we succeeded.
And the other group that's interesting in all of this is a group called the New Conservatives. Now, they're one of these many, many Tory groupings.
Yeah.
But they're on the right of the party. There are about 36 MPs. And some senior figures in those are said to be linked to this plot. Now, publicly, of course, everyone is denying this because it's relatively early days. But we'll see. I mean, that's where I would be watching as these kind of very difficult electoral moments come up for the Tories in coming months.
If the question is we need to get rid of the Prime Minister, the next question is always, well, who are we going to replace them with? And Kemi Badenoch, the Cabinet Minister, is one of the people who polls particularly well in Conservative circles, who people seem to coalesce around as thinking, well, she's the person who would try and replace Sunak if it comes to that. Walk us through the interest around her and what her involvement could be, if anything.
So Kemi Badenoch emerged as one of the stars of the last Tory leadership campaign. She came from the relative kind of fringes and became one of the main candidates with the support of Michael Gove. And she's seen as a kind of right-wing candidate, but she's also not been afraid to take on the right in the past when she thinks they're wrong. And you would have thought that if the Tories lose the next election, there is a good chance that Kemi Badenoch could emerge as their leader in opposition. But that talks to a wider point that's happening here in Westminster. So ostensibly, obviously, all the cabinet are saying they are loyal to Rishi Sunak and they are loyal to the Prime Minister.
The country does not need. I fully support the Prime Minister, and I have said many times that I stood to be leader and lost. And the last time we had a contest after Liz Truss resigned, I said that the right person to lead the country was Rishi Sunak, and I still believe that to be the case.
But there is a tacit battle for the future of the Conservative Party that is happening right here and right now. Because while however much they say they believe in the project, they are tacitly preparing a contingency in case Rishi Sunak should fail to win the next election, which looks likely based on the polls.
Mm.
And as a result, you've got lots of cabinet ministers who are interested in the future of the party, having lunches with colleagues. Kemi Badenoch is said to have lots of meals with other MPs. You've got Penny Mordaunt, who's from the centre-left of the party, is said to be doing the same. Grant Shapps, the defence secretary, is often named for his kind of schnapps with Shapps events. So there's lots of... Now, this is, of course, part of the normal currency of Westminster life, but it has a heightened sense when a lot of people in the Conservative Party feel that they are on the brink of what could be a really bad defeat.
And has some of that, I take your point that it's usual fare for a politician with ambitions to have lunches with colleagues and have schnapps with them, if you grant schnapps. But is someone like Kemi Badenoch seen to be crossing the line too far in a way that could be seen as actually agitating against Rishi Sunak?
I mean, not yet. I've not seen anything to suggest that she's overtly doing anything like that. Now, what's happening behind the scenes is different in terms of talking to colleagues and stuff like that, but no more so than any of the kind of four or five other potential leadership candidates. I think pinning anything specific on them is quite difficult. So she's a member of a WhatsApp group called Evil Plotters. That group also included Michael Gove and was set up in the wake of Nadine Dorries's book, which said they were all evil plotters who were plotting to kind of kill Boris Johnson. It's not because they are doing evil plots in themselves. So I guess what I'm saying is there isn't any explicit evidence for that, and no one is suggesting to me that they've overstepped them. She's overstepped the mark. In fact, they're saying the opposite. They thought that she was very supportive and helpful on the weekend shows in Downing Street.
Need to stop messing around and get behind the leader. The fact of the matter is, most people in the country are not interested in all of this Westminster tittle-tattle. And quite frankly, the people who keep putting my name in there are not my friends. They're just stirring. And we have 350 MPs. This is a small number of people who are doing this. The vast majority of Conservative MPs support the Prime Minister, as we saw in the response.
Her message is quite clear that she doesn't want anything to do with plotting. But look, it is a delicate balance here in Westminster, it always is, between people being publicly loyal to the Prime Minister and people considering what might happen in future.
From my vantage point, Steve, it looks like this plot has sort of been and gone and is all of a sudden very quiet. But is that actually the case? Are they just waiting for, as you pointed to us earlier on in our conversation, the upcoming by-elections and the May local elections, which Rishi Sunak could do badly in both of those? Is this the plan going as the plotters would have expected it?
Number 10 doesn't think this is over. No one I'm talking to thinks that it's over because of those events that are to come. And things that I would flag to you is that lots of MPs went out of their way publicly to condemn Simon Clark and to criticise the YouGov poll. But privately, when you talk to Tory MPs, particularly on the right of the party, they are very worried. And there's some new Office of National Statistics figures today on migration, which show huge levels of migration in the run-up to 2035. I think it's something like 6 million people. That will be fueling those concerns. If the tax cuts aren't big enough in the budget, which obviously it looks increasingly like that by the time we get to the budget on March the 6th, the fiscal circumstances could be quite constrained. That, again, will fuel the concerns of the Tory right.
And what is in Number 10's armoury to actually defend themselves against this or try and defuse it? Is it just schmoozing them and trying to get them on side? Or, I mean, is there even the nuclear option where trying to fend off the rebels affects when Rishi Sunak decides to call a general election? I don't know.
They are arguing very strongly divided parties lose elections, which is true. We're on the cusp of a general election. If you change leader now, then who are you going to change it to and how will that make a difference? The rebels argue that someone who got a grip on migration, that was willing to make changes to the way the government is done, to cut taxes, that they could make inroads into it. But a lot of MPs are wary of doing that at the moment, and they think it could make matters even worse for them in their own seats. So to get to a formal challenge of the leadership, they need 54 people to submit letters of no confidence in Rishi Sunak's leadership, which is quite a tall order. And the wargaming in Number 10 is that in normal circumstances, actually, even a vote of confidence in a sitting prime minister is fatal. It kind of kills them, right? It happened with Boris Johnson. He won his vote of confidence. It happened with Theresa May. She won hers. In both cases, they went some months afterwards. The rationale this time is actually there isn't time for that. We're so close to a general election that he would see off this revolt and he'd go from there. But you'd have a kind of open split within the Conservative Party that would be very, very difficult to manage.
Big Ben Bonging tells me we're almost out of time, but just before we leave you, Steve, is this of a different flavour to the kind of plots we've seen previously? I mean, only in the past 5, 6, 7, 8 years or so. The introduction of this very untransparent body seemingly paying for this and pushing a lot of this and doing a lot of the polling suggests it's, to me it's slightly different, it's less transparent, but I don't know. Are you just going to tell me that this is Tory plotting and arguing as we've known and loved for decades?
No, I think you're right. If we look at the last kind of couple of big plots, it was like high-profile backers of Boris Johnson and high-profile opponents of Liz Truss were both calling for change. We're not getting that this time. It's a more covert plot. We don't even know where their offices are. We don't even know who their donors are. There's a lot of unknowns yet. And Number 10 will be doing everything in its power to find that out. But they are wary and they've realised there is a threat here.
So watch this space. Steve Swinford, thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Stories of Our Times, a podcast brought to you thanks to subscribers of The Times and The Sunday Times. With me, Luke Jones. and my guest, political editor at The Times, Stephen Swinford. You can find all of Steve's reporting at thetimes.co.uk if you have a subscription. The producer today was Sam Chantarasek. The executive producer was James Shield. Leave us a nice review if you've got a moment. It helps other people scrolling through the same podcast app find us. And if you're looking for something else to listen to and have had your fill of Conservative splits, what about Labour ones? If you haven't heard it already, Manveen had a cracking chat with Tony Blair's former speechwriter about Keir Starmer's Blairite playbook. We'll pop a link to that in the description of this episode. Goodbye.
Rising sea levels, extreme weather patterns, extinctions of species. Our planet needs protecting. I'm Adam Vaughan, the environment editor for The Times, and this is Planet Hope from The Times, in partnership with Rolex and its Perpetual Planet Initiative. In this podcast, we hear from leading experts from around the world who are committed to finding solutions. These explorers, scientists, entrepreneurs, and citizens are committed to a common goal, to protect our home, Earth. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.